Hi, Becky.
Hello.
Could you please describe for me what types of mental health battles you have dealt with within your life?
Okay, so I've had a variety of kind of mental health problems since probably my mid-teens. They've all been slightly different depending on where I was at kind of in my life. So in my teens, it was kind of very much around self-harm. In my early 20s, I was kind of medicating or self-medicating, I guess, through alcohol, mostly alcohol. Mid to late 20s, I had quite a serious eating disorder, but always it's kind of been underpinned for me by really kind of low mood, depression, anxiety, and kind of self-destructive kind of thinking. So sometimes those periods kind of last a couple of weeks, sometimes they last much longer, sometimes there's a trigger, sometimes that's not really obvious.
And how did this affect your sporting career?
It's affected it as in, so I've kind of lost opportunities where I've maybe taken myself out of things, or I've been sort of told that I wouldn't be selected. In my mid-20s, around the kind of eating sort of time, I stopped playing netball completely because, really, I think because of the eating disorder more than anything else. I then also had a back injury, which took me out of the game again. But it's always, and it's probably something that's affected me playing at a higher level when I was younger. Part confidence, part because I didn't want to share what was going on. And let kind of anyone get too close.
And how difficult was it going through this whilst playing netball?
I'd say that it was and is, it can be very, very difficult because you're kind of, in sport, particularly elite sport, you're led to believe that you need to be like a superhero. You need to be kind of perfect. You have to be strong. You have to be mentally tough. There's all these kind of buzzwords that are thrown around. But actually, sport is also incredibly emotional, and it's a kind of constant roller coaster of up and downs. So when you've got that on top of also incredibly low mood, feeling like you want to self-destruct, self-harm, and you're trying to hide all that and keep this kind of front that you're this incredibly strong, tough person, that's incredibly difficult, and that kind of feeds into those feelings of just being a total fraud and a failure.
So I was reading one of your articles and you said that sport is the best medicine.
Yeah.
Could you elaborate on that, please?
Yeah, so for me, sport is... it gives me so much. It gives me a sense of belonging. It surrounds me with people. Obviously, you get the natural endorphin buzz of exercising. But it also gives you a sense of, for me, it gives you a sense of routine. But for me, being part of a team, I think, gives me that, it's that belonging, but it's also that sense of kind of responsibility to my teammates. So it's that responsibility to meet even those very, very basic needs on a bad day. So the washing, the eating, the drinking, because I've got that responsibility to someone else when I don't seem like doing it for myself is enough.
So would you say there was a particular moment in your career that gave you the confidence to fight these battles?
For me, I think that in all honesty, it was when I was exited from the Dragon setup, when I was told that I wouldn't be selected because of my mental health. And for me, some of the things that happened around that, I think in a way was so shocking to me as a kind of social work professional. You almost sort of removed yourself, or I could remove myself and think, well, actually no, I don't believe this is right. And actually if this was happening to somebody else, I'd stand up and fight this. So I think actually in a funny way, that, which was one of the worst things to ever happen to me in my sporting career, if not the worst, actually galvanised something in me. Hearing some of those things that I'd been saying in my head, said out loud by somebody else, actually made me realise how kind of almost absurd they were. I think in a funny way, not that I'm recommending that as a way to help people, in a funny way I think that maybe helped me.
Do you think you would be where you are today in terms of your mental health journey without your Seven Stars team or without netball itself?
No, I don't think I would. I think actually Seven Stars has been just incredible for me. I was absolutely blown away to be selected by them. but the culture there is so good for someone like me, or anyone really, because it gives you, they've very much got this kind of player welfare comes first. There's a sense of kind of development, however old you are, so you're not the same person today that you're going to be tomorrow. You're allowed to make mistakes, you're allowed to have a bad day, and there's not this kind of obsession with being the perfect finish article. I think that actually is such a good culture to have in elite sport.
So do you think there is a stigma surrounding mental health in the sporting community?
I do, yes, very much so. Even though people are increasingly coming out, most people who come out when their career is already finished, because of that risk that you'll get dropped. There's very little protection for a lot of athletes, and particularly athletes who are not full-time professionals. There's very little protection in terms of the law against stigma and discrimination. Because of that, it means that actually somebody can just say that I'm not going to pick you because you're not good enough, when actually it could be just because they think that you've got a mental health problem, you might become unwell, or they're afraid of what might happen. So yeah, I think very much it's still a very dark kind of kept secret in a lot of teams.
And this stigma, do you feel that was the reason you maybe were left out or discarded by your old side?
In all honesty, well, yes, in that I was told that the reason that I was being left out was that I had a mental health condition. There was no talking to doctors, there was no talking to psychologists. If I had a knee injury, they'd consult the physio about what the risks of that would be. So if I've effectively got a head injury, head illness, for me, if you're treating them the same and there's no kind of stigma attached to it, you ought to be consulting somebody about what the risks are. Because actually for me, a layperson in the street would look at me and say, actually your knee's not good enough, we're going to rule you out. So why would a layperson look at my head and say, not good enough, we're going to rule you out?
And with this stigma, what do you feel can be done to change this?
Open and honest conversations. It has to be honest. It can't be just the kind of heads of organisations sitting in a room saying we need to do something about this. It's actually about having those conversations that make you feel uncomfortable. So admitting when actually I might not have handled this quite right. I mean, I don't pretend that I didn't make mistakes in that season with Dragons, and that I'm sure that I was difficult, you know, at times. But I think the only way to learn from that is to actually sit down and have really honest conversations about it. And it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to say you don't know what you're doing. Even if you're in charge, it's still okay to say that.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time, Becky.
It's okay.